Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss! Strike three, it's over!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 211. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. It has all our video, or all our episodes in video form. Hit the thumbs up on all those videos. Subscribe to WEEI. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter and Instagram. And we've got a very special guest for you guys today, making his Play Tessie debut not too long after making his major league debut. Debuted against the Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball and has looked awesome through 4 starts. As this episode drops on drop day, he's scheduled to go against Tarek Skubal and the Detroit Tigers, so a big test. But really excited to have Hunter Dobbins join us on this podcast. He's been such a nice breath of fresh air for this Red Sox team, and I'm excited for you guys to hear the interview. We did it at Fenway Park. It was me and Sammy and Dobbins, and it was great. And man, should we just get right into this interview?
Let's jump right in.
Hit it.
All right, here's our interview with Sox starter Hunter Dobbins.
All right, we're here with Red Sox pitcher Hunter Dobbins. Hunter, new to the big leagues, I got to know, like, big league life, is it everything you dreamed of? And tell me. Take me through your debut, Sunday Night Baseball against the Cardinals. Were you shoved?
It's been a lot of fun. You know, every kid's dreams get up here, let alone be in Fenway Park in Boston. It definitely a dream come true all the way down to, like, the food. It's outstanding, top-notch, but, I mean, kinda, as you expect from the Red Sox. Debut, I was told I was coming up. They were like, hey, we're not sure if you're going to throw or not. You're going to be activated. Just be ready to go. So I showed up kind of ready for whatever role I needed to fill that night. Kind of right before the first game, said, hey, you're going to start the second game that day. So I just kind of rolled right into my routine at that point. Came out during the first game, took in the environment, kind of Fenway crowd and all that. That way, when I got on the mound for the first one, I was ready to do a job.
All right, so I'm going to sound like a big-time boomer with this one, but what is a splinker, and why is it different from a splitter, and why is it different from a sinker?
It's a mixture of both, kind of, as the name would kind of hint. It's more so the velocity of a sinker, movement of a splitter. I feel like it's kind of come about with kind of the new age seam shifted movement and all that, because it's what I rely on to get that movement out of it. The way that I throw, I don't have a problem making things go to my glove side. So we kind of have to mess with the air resistance and seam effects to get it to go that way, and that's kind of what makes it fall under splinker.
Okay, so next time someone's like, why is it a new pitch name? There you go. Yep, there's a reason for it.
Do you know how many guys in the league throw it right now? I know we had just had Duran here, and he throws it.
Yeah, I know he throws it. I know Skeens throws it. I know there's a few guys toying around with it, just because the guys who are throwing it are having success with it. I'm not sure the exact number, but I know there's more and more guys starting to adopt it.
Okay, here's a good question for you that I'm sure you've answered a billion times, but you got to answer it for the people here. Dr. Pepper.
Yep.
Why? And what does it do for you? And how did you learn to love it so much? And just take me through everything Dr. Pepper.
So I grew up from the place that it was founded. It was like an hour and a half from where I grew up. And, you know, in Texas, you either have a Dr. Pepper or you have a sweet tea in your hand when you're growing up. Just kind of got hooked on it then. And then being an athlete, obviously caffeine, some stuff like that, it kind of gets you going. More so now, I drink it just because it's kind of helps me calm the nerves, settle in. It's a part of my routine at this point. Just helps me kind of mentally quiet everything down and be ready to go.
Have they reached out about a sponsorship yet?
Not yet. We'll see. We'll get some more time up here, and then we'll we'll reach out.
But you're open to it if it's something they want to do.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
We got to make it happen. Dr. Pepper, if you're listening.
So when you're pitching, you're like always fully caffeinated?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'd be a little shaky.
It's one of those. It's, you know, you got to be locked in. You got to be ready to perform for all these guys behind you and for the city. So it's, you know, if you need that little bit of edge, that caffeine kind of gets you going to stay locked in, I'm going to do whatever I
got
to do.
Got it. All right. So now we're going to get into the social questions. Aside from baseball and Dr. Pepper, what are you an expert in?
I'd say hunting, golfing, and I would say fishing, but my little brother would have something to say about it because he's a professional bass fisherman. So,
can you give me like a best and worst golfer on the Red Sox?
Best golfer? That's a tough one.
We can just go worst.
Who's in contention?
It's got to be probably me. Cutter's really good. I haven't got to play with many of the guys up here, so I'm not sure. Worst, I don't want to put him on the spot like this, but he's done it to me in the past, so I'm going to say David Sandlin.
Okay. We'll see if we can get a response on that one.
Cutter is always winning. Like they have the golf things in spring training, and then I think one year they golfed off the Monster for the fantasy draft. Yeah. I think Cutter crushed it in something.
Like if you're from Florida, you got to be good at golf. Golf place.
Cutter's the real deal when it comes to golf. And baseball, obviously.
You warm weather kids have all the advantages. Like, we grow up here. We're inside for, what, like 3/4 of the year.
Yeah, most of the year we're freezing.
Like, but yeah, you were up here in April, so you know now, and being in Worcester too. So you know it now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next question for you. Give me your most controversial food take. We've had some good ones for this.
Controversial. And we're not really talking... Is cereal a soup here, huh?
That's
a whole another can of worms that you can open up there. Actually, I'm gonna stick with that one, yeah, because I think it is.
So. Wait, but what? Oh my god, I've never thought about this. So, that what would be the definition of soup?
Well, it's like it's a liquid that you eat, and it's items in it. Because here's my take about soup is that soup is not food. I think soup is a beverage.
Oh, that's weird.
I know. No one. I've never met anyone who agrees with me on that.
Yeah, no, like, especially if you have things in it.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't get a beverage route.
But it's like hot chocolate has marshmallows in it, and we don't call that soup or a food. It's a beverage.
Yeah, but technically you could have hot chocolate without the marshmallows.
But you could have soup as just broth.
No, that's just broth.
That's just broth. Making soup is...
The combination, yeah.
So do people consider broth a beverage?
Ew. I don't know.
I don't know if I want to have that conversation.
Okay, so so soup is a cereal. That's your take.
Cereal is a soup.
Okay, yeah.
Cereal is a cereal.
Jeez, my head is spinning. All right, last question. This is the question that's been sweeping the nation. We spoke earlier. You haven't seen The Town yet, but it's on the list. If you were to rob Fenway... And you get to pick three people in the organization plus a driver. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go Roman Anthony.
Why
speed,
Roman?
Yeah. Speed. Guy can move pretty well. Plus, he's a pretty strong dude. So, feel like he'd be useful. Let's see. Trenor O'Donnell. Just because, you know, he's another big guy. We got to reach something. He can do it. And plus, bodyguard. I'm trying to think of some speed here.
That's the key, is make a well-rounded team.
Say speed-wise, I'm going to go Tyler McDonough.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting, because everyone else for speed keeps saying default Jaren Durant. You went Tyler McDonough. Why Tyler?
Because McDonough is a little bit of a smaller guy. So, you know, like we got size taken care of. He's speed and a little smaller guy. So, you know, checks the boxes there.
And then you get a driver.
Driver, yeah. Definitely not Marcelo.
Why not Marcelo? Because someone did pick Roman took Marcelo, right?
Yeah. I just, if I'm robbing, I can't have those two together. we wouldn't get anything done. Let's see, driver-wise, I think I'm going to go, I got to go with Texan because we drive crazy. You know what? I'm going to go Trevor Story because he's got the Raptor R. He's, yeah. I'm going that way.
And he can get you out of town. Get you out of Dodge.
Yeah, he knows the place. He's got the fast truck. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. That's a good team. Yeah. Very well thought out. Good squad.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, Hunter. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, big shout out to Sox starter Hunter Dobbins for jumping on Play Tessie with the boys, making his Play Tessie debut. Just a few starts into his career, jumps on the Play Tessie podcast, and we really appreciate it. He is the Dr. Pepper King of all kings, and we got to get that sponsorship. That is something. And yes, it's early in his career, so we got plenty of time to get that thing locked and loaded. But let's just say that by opening day next year, that's got to be a thing. Pat and I actually asked Brian Abraham, or actually I think Joe Weil asked the question about Hunter Dobbins, but I asked, is Dr. Pepper going to be something you preach to your other young starters, just seeing as though, you know, Hunter Dobbins drinks that Dr. Pepper before his starts and he's been so good. So now it must be something you should teach to the other kids. No?
It has to be, right?
Is it healthy?
No, absolutely not.
No, I believe Brian's answer was not my sport drink of choice. I still think water might be a little bit better.
Yeah, he's like, I recommend water.
I've honestly never had Dr. Pepper in my life.
What is it? It tastes like what's it called? Root beer? Kind of. Neither am I really, but it kind of tastes like root beer, right, Pat?
Oh, dude, I kicked soda probably 7 or 8 years ago. I would inhale some DP. It is.
Wow. You would what?
Yeah, I realized that. Ow, I said it.
Joe, can we clip that, please?
Yeah, clip that, Joe. That's big. That's big for our brand.
Dr. Pepper's great. Dr. Pepper's great.
It's just like that DP, man. Inhale it. But yeah, Hunter Dobbins has been good, huh? He's been good at the pitching thing, right?
You know what's cool about Dobbins? Yeah. Dobbins to this day is the only guy, starting pitcher, I've ever seen go like sign for fans and chat up fans and take pictures with fans on the day that he's starting, which is really cool. I know most guys you can't even talk to, and I totally respect that. I would not, like, if Crochet was starting that day and we were at Fenway, wouldn't say a word to him. Let him go do his thing. He's in the zone. But Dobbins, just like, from everything we've heard before we met the guy too, great dude. And then meeting him the other day, can confirm, very nice guy. Easy guy to root for, as Gordo likes to say.
Oh, easy to root for. Love guys who are just easy to root for. 100, yeah, he's, and by God, he's been great. 2.78 ERA through four starts, 22 2/3 innings. High velocity guy. He's got that splinker that you guys just heard about. I'm trying to, 19 strikeouts in 22 2/3 innings. And the ERA would be even lower if he just ran out of gas at the end of that Twin start. But this is a guy who has kept the Red Sox in, not just kept them in every one of his games, but he's put them in a position to win these games. And yeah, the last start we had was the one in this past series against, why can I not remember who they just played? The Royals. Good God. Yeah. Six scoreless against the Royals. Not only doesn't get the win, the team loses because they couldn't hit, but when it's crazy. Usually, like, even with a top prospect, it takes a lot for a guy to go out there and for me to think in my head, I feel good about this game before it even starts. Hunter Dobbins, for whatever reason, it took him maybe two starts to get there for me. I don't know why I feel so at ease when he's on.
Why? You're a big in zone whiff guy.
He was high. I mean, I got to check where he's at in that. I know after his first two starts, he was great, and he was the best of all Red Sox starting pitchers. And I got to see where he's at.
I know what you like. I know what you like. You like in zone whiff. Everyone does, honestly.
I love guys that don't want guys throw strikes and get whiffs when they do it. That's consistent. That's how you be consistent.
Wasn't every Red Sox pitcher just do that? Just do that. Just strike everyone out and don't walk anyone.
Who throws the slowest on the Red Sox right now? I'm trying to think.
Giolito. Oh, Newcomb.
Newcomb probably.
Now, Bernie. How hard does Bernie throw? I've never even like pondered that.
Bernie doesn't throw super mid-90s. Hard. Mid-90s.
Weissert can get up to the high 90s. I guess, yeah, Newcomb, right?
They really don't. Yeah, it might be Newcomb, which is crazy because, I mean, his strikeout numbers are pretty good.
Everyone throws hard out of the pen. They don't have. They only have like one Chapman who's like holy shit, but everyone else is like mid to upper 90s.
They have fully axed the like Joe Jakes types where it's just
stuff.
It's just
slinging it.
Throw me 88 and please try to dot it on the corner. Because if you don't, you're either walking guys or you're letting up nukes. Like, yeah, they don't have that anymore. And I just don't quite understand. I say it every time he starts. I've maybe had the same conversation with my dad like six times at this point. But I just don't understand when you watch the stuff that Hunter Dobbins has, the pitch mix, the velocity, the strike throwing ability, and the ability to get swings and misses in the zone. And you've seen it. The proof is in the pudding. He's been great. How was he not a higher ranked prospect? How was he not? And how is he not now?
He probably just wasn't the same guy when he got drafted. Like you know, what's his name? Peyton Tolley. When the Red Sox drafted him, he threw 91. Now he's throwing high 90s. So, you know, guys change. Guys change.
But he got on Baseball America's top 100 list. And we've seen what Hunter Dobbins has done. He's still Sox prospects number 11 guy, and maybe that's more of a.
No, I know. I totally just an example of a guy who. I'm not comparing. Yeah, not comparing those guys. I'm just saying guys change from like prospect stat. Like things can change rapidly. They're all like.
But why didn't they for him though? That's what I'm saying. Is like how was he not
late bloomer?
I think the thing with Hunter Dobbins though is, like I would say half of your prospect status is draft rank, like where you were drafted, and then the other thing too is. Through the minors, he was never really like a world beater. Like he wasn't striking out the world or anything. 2023, he finished year with a 367. Last year, he pitched really well. He had a 308. And then like this year in Worcester, he's pitched three games. He's got a 639. Like he was never a guy where you're like, oh my God, this guy's incredible. He was just consistently good.
Well, I'll tell you, man, looking at the stuff, I mean, he looks every bit of a major league starter, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Red Sox rotation looks like when guys get healthy, because I mean, I know Richard Fitz has taken a little bit longer than we would have hoped to get back, but he looks like he's getting closer and closer to a rehab stint. Walker Buehler, they hope, is just a short stint on the IL, and there's really nobody in the Red Sox rotation right now that's an obvious candidate to remove. Everyone has pitched well. We just talked about that last series, the Royals, where only one earned run with those three starts. I mean, Bayo didn't start in that series. You're not removing Bayo. Who am I forgetting? How
could you say?
I forgot how.
Oh, how? Yeah.
So he's a start to start guy. We're going to have to keep monitoring that. But yeah, I mean, there's really no one that you want to remove.
I mean, Crochet would be a great closer.
Crochet is a candidate for the fake IL, the phantom IL stint for Crochet.
I mean, his ERA went over 2 for a little bit, so. Regression. And it got back under 2, but it went over for a bit. So got to think about trading.
And once you're over 2, you're just an over 2 guy.
You're terrible. Yeah.
Great. Except for Hunter Dobbins, whose ERA is over 2. So,
all right. Well, you don't have to add that context. You don't have to add
under
that 3. Context.
He's an under, he's an under three guy. He's an under 3.
You know what
guy.
They say? They say you're either over 2 or you're under 3. And that's baseball, Susan. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm saying right now, but no, that you're absolutely right. There is no obvious candidate. Good problem to have though. This is what we complained about. Like we've had this conversation already multiple times. I'd much rather be complaining about this than being like, do we call up Jason Alexander for a start?
Jason Alexander
for James Paxton.
We're going to be in our 60s doing this podcast, and you're going to be talking about Jason Alexander still.
I wanted him to pitch, dude. I thought it was funny. There were Seinfeld jokes, and he probably would have thrown a complete game shutout, maybe a no-hitter.
We already have a guy for Seinfeld jokes.
I know, but it's like you have to explain it. It's more roundabout. Jason Alexander, he just shows up. You're like, oh,
hey,
George, Jason Alexander.
All right, we can wrap it there. That was an awesome interview with Hunter Dobbins, and major shout out to him for jumping on with the fellas. We just kind of showed up to the ballpark, and you know he was there, and we were like, oh my God, we should definitely interview Hunter Dobbins. This guy's been awesome, and we're excited to see what he has in store for the remainder of his career that's just getting started. But appreciate you guys listening to this one for episode 211 of Play Tessie. But remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials. At Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Find us on YouTube on WEI's page. Subscribe there. Find the Play Tessie playlist and hit the thumbs up on all those videos. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo. Once again, appreciate you, Hunter Dobbins, for jumping on with the fellas and making your Play Tessie debut. But that'll do it for episode 211 of Play Tessie. We'll see you in a couple days. But till then, thanks for tuning in. Peace.